All right, let's open our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 47, please. I'm going to make some opening remarks to give you a little bit of time to get there. It's towards kind of this is if you want to see where it's at in reference of space, a little past the middle of your Bible, Ezekiel chapter 47. And so here we stand in front of the end at the close of a decade, a close of a year, 2019, larger than that, close of a decade, on the edge of a brand new year, brand new decade. And so I want to ask some questions. Come December, the last Sunday of December 2020, where do you want to be in relation to your relationship with God? Where do we want to be in terms of intimacy with God? Do you want to be closer? Do you want to have more peace in your life because of the presence of God with you? Do you want to worry less? Do you want to do away with bad habits? Old habits? Habits that are hard to break? Do we want to have more power over those? More discipline over those? I know I do. Do we want to have more joy in our lives? Do we want to worry less? Do we want to stress less? Well, I believe that this new little mini-series that will take 3 weeks to kind of plumb the depths of the scripture that we'll be looking at to see where we want to be with reference to our lives and our relationship with God through Christ. Okay, so if you're in Ezekiel 47, I believe I've kind of given you plenty of time. If not, you can look on the table of contents and find your page number, Ezekiel 47. And here, let me just kind of set it up real quickly. There's an angel here that the Lord's given Ezekiel the prophet a vision. And there's an angel as Ezekiel's guide explaining the vision as Ezekiel is seeing this. Please remember, Ezekiel was a prophet in Babylon during the exile period when Israel was taken captive and exiled off to Babylon. And so Ezekiel is given this vision of a brand new temple that will exist in the future and a river that flows from it. Okay, so keep that in mind, because what happened to the old temple? It was destroyed, wasn't it? It was destroyed. 70 AD, Roman general Titus and his troops stormed into Jerusalem, burned down the walls. The whole city was ransacked. And as Jesus told his disciples that not one stone would be left upon another of the temple, that came true. And there was widespread starvation that the adults were eating their children. Pretty stark reality, wasn't it? Back in 70 AD. So the prophet Ezekiel receives a vision about an upcoming temple. Verse 1. Then he, the angel, brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. Then, when the man, the angel, went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, or 1,750 feet, or a third of a mile. He measured a third of a mile, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my what? Ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my knees. And then he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water and came up to my waist. Again, he measured. He's going a third of a mile, a third of a mile, a third of a mile. Verse 5. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not cross. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to that. For the water was what?
Too deep.
Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Let's read verse 6. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. Okay, very interesting passage of scripture. If you want to get technical about it, the vision that Ezekiel the prophet saw was a vision of the new temple, the new heaven and the new earth during the millennial period, the physical reign of Christ on planet earth after, you know, the tribulation and such. I know people have differing views of end times. That's kind of my personal view, that Jesus will reign on earth for 1,000 years. There's a lot of scripture about that. But now, we're not going to read it that way. It's not going to be an end time message. We're going to read this devotionally. How does this temple, how does this river apply to you and me today? Okay, well, notice, there's a temple, the house of God, and the house of God is the source of this life-giving river. Now, we stopped at verse 6, but if you read on, you find out that this river is life-giving and brings waters of healing and life and draws all kinds of fish. And even though the head of the river is under the temple, the mouth of the river ends up in the Dead Sea and makes the Dead Sea the salt sea waters. It makes it fresh and living water. Okay, so that's a thumbnail sketch, but notice the angel says, takes Ezekiel from one point in the river to another point in the river, right? He says, we're going to start you off, Ezekiel, with waters that are how deep?
Ankle
deep. Now, takes him from the temple, and he causes, I can picture myself, you know, the angel wading into the waters with his measuring tape or whatever it is, and taking Ezekiel with him, and so they're both in ankle deep water. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question, church family. We've all been, if you're a believer, we've all been in ankle deep water, right? How fun was it when you first gave your life to Jesus Christ? It was so new. The sun shone brighter. The clouds were bluer. The birds were singing even more beautiful than they ever had. Is that kind of your experience? I mean, for me, life just took on a whole new meaning, and the palpable sense that God loved me unconditionally. Wow, that is something I had never experienced to that point in my life of 16 years of my life until I was... Well, I was 15, 11 days shy of my 16th birthday. But wow, what a difference did that make? Who all remembers when you were fresh in the faith? Isn't it nice to remember? Yeah. Life was so innocent, wasn't it? You were so innocent. I was, you know, I was so innocent. I was so pure. The crazy thoughts, the gutter thoughts that I had beforehand, the Lord just purified those in me. I love that. Now, but notice carefully, the ankle deep level of water is just but a starting point in the river. Right? It's not the be-all, end-all. Coming to Christ, church family, is not the goal of life. It is the starting point of life. Right? Because there's more to the river. There's so much to the river, church family, that you cannot actually cross it. The river here being your spiritual life. So if the river signifies our personal spiritual lives, then being ankle deep is good, but is being ankle deep the end? No, it's just a beginning point. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, please. So we could say this is the, for lack of a better word, since we are born again as babes in Christ, right? And we're encouraged to enjoy our babyhood, but we're encouraged to outgrow our babyhood in Scripture. We could say that the ankle deep is the kiddie side of the pool. Some of us are still with our spiritual floaties. You're sitting in ankle deep weight or ankle deep level of water, but you're sitting in that river with your legs crisscross applesauce. And we're happy. And that's good. But that's just the starting point. 1 Peter 2:2. Alrighty? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So notice, by merely being in the river ankle deep, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. But are we supposed to be satisfied with ankle deep? Notice, it says, as newborn babes desire. Another translation says uses the word crave. Another translation uses the word long. It is the Greek word epipotheo. Epipotheo. And it means this: a pursuit that is drawn from love. Pursue the milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if in fact you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Pursue, long for it, have a strong desire for it. Let the love in your heart for the Lord cause you to not be happy at ankle deep, but move on to the next level. See it? I mean, it's great being a babe. It is great being a spiritual babe. We get away with a lot, right? Because we're ignorant. We're babes in Christ. But after a while, church family, the Lord's going to say, it's time for the angel to lead you deeper. It's time for you to wade into deeper water. And that's the title of my series, Into Deeper Water. So he's going to take us from ankle deep. What's the next one? Knee deep. I call it the frog stage. Knee deep, knee deep. Thank you for laughing. I thought that was cheesy, but thank you for laughing anyway. I'll admit my cheesy jokes, okay? That was one of the few rare cheesy jokes. The knee deep stage. Okay? That's great. Knee deep. Now you're farther in the river. And have you noticed that the farther into the river that you are, the river represents what, church family? Your spiritual life. Your spiritual life. Now that you're farther knee-deep in the river, do you realize that? How many of y'all have ever been knee-deep in water, in a swimming pool, in a river, or something? How many of y'all know that takes a little effort to walk? Right? Now, you know, walking at ankle-deep in water, that's easy. But once you're knee deep, it takes a little more effort, doesn't it? So here's a point. The farther you go into that river, the more effort it will require from you. Right? Do you realize that a lot of people stay in the ankle deep side because they don't want to make the effort to go farther, to wade deeper into deeper water of their spiritual life? It's harder to walk in water at knee-deep stage than it is at ankle-deep stage, right? But we should have that desire born out of a love for God that'll draw us, cause us to wade deeper. Now, I want to point out something, because this vision is so full of truth. Look with me in Ezekiel 47. Because the river courses from the threshold of the temple, from the foundation of the temple, but then it courses around in verse 1, the end of verse 1. Let's just read verse 1. Then he, the angel, brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the what? South of the altar. Okay, if you know any bit about the Bible, what happened on an altar? Sacrifice. The definition of the word sacrifice is the surrendering of something of value for the sake of greater gain. The surrendering of something of value for the sake of greater gain. Now think about that in your life with God. You are surrendering something of value. How many of y'all believe that your time is valuable? Your time, baby, is more valuable than your money. Because once your money is spent, you can borrow money from the bank. Once your time is spent, you can't borrow time from anywhere. It's gone. So the more time you spend with the Lord, you're making a sacrifice. You're surrendering something of value to you for the sake of greater gain. Right? Didn't Jesus say you must lose your life to find it? Right? You know, it never ceases to amaze me the obsession with self-love that there is these days in the culture. Self-love. Love yourself. Pamper yourself. You know, spoil yourself. And to me, every time I read that on social media, when I read that in books, when I read that in magazines, the words of Christ just kind of echo in the back of my mind. To find your life, you must lose your life. Amen. Not try to find more of your life. Lose your life, Jesus said, for my sake and the sake of the Gospels, and you will truly find your life. Right? So we're at knee deep. Now, let's go to the next level. What's the next level? Somebody tell me. Waist deep. How hard is it to walk in water at waist deep? Can you walk as fast in waist deep level of water as you can in knee deep? No, it's getting... You're more inundated. So what's happening to us in our spiritual life? We're wading deeper. We're going into deeper water. And we're surrendering something of value for the sake of greater gain. Right?
Amen.
You know, I remember, to me, giving has never been an issue. Giving to the Lord has never been an issue. When I first gave my life to the Lord, for example, I received, I can't remember how much I received a week as allowance, but I would give it all to the church. That to me was just that. When I went to ORU and my dad was anti-oral, oh, we had many conversations about that. Oh, gosh. And he said, "Now, Joe, when they pass the offering plate, I don't want you to give any money, or at least the money that I send you, don't give any of the money to them." Well, I didn't, to respect him, but when I started working in campus work study, I gave a tithe of what I earned there because it was, to me, that was important for me to honor the Lord. Amen? Right? I wanted to honor the Lord with that. It was a surrendering of something of value for the sake of greater gain. So, I don't know what your thing is that you must surrender that is valuable to you. For some of us, it might be a bad habit that as the book of Hebrews says, that it's like that besetting sin that's there all the time to stumble us. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles us. Maybe it's that for us to go into deeper water. We must lay aside that sin. So, you know, we're at waist-deep water. So is there something... this is what I want to say. The Lord has been convicting me hard about my mouth. And how many of y'all know that I can sin with my mouth quite easily? Don't say amen, but... Everybody knows it. You know, this is the most weird preacher. When he opens his mouth, he says some of the darndest things. But anyway, you know, that one scripture in James 1 really hits home. That true religion is this. Someone that can control their mouth. True religion. That can keep themselves from contamination from the world. And tends to widows and orphans. That's convicted me. So if you see me being more mild and watching what I say, now you know what's going on. So anyway, you know, there's always a surrendering of something of value for us. So I'm asking you here at this point, what is it for you? What is that thing that you have to surrender of value for the sake of greater gain? Because church family, how many of y'all know no man can serve two masters? You're going to love the one, hate the other, cling to the one, despise the other, but you cannot serve God in mammon. You cannot serve God in the world. You cannot have your cake in the kingdom of God and eat it too. It doesn't work that way. The more you surrender, the more you find yourself. That's a good statement. Can I get a witness, please?
Amen.
In Him. I want to be found in Him. I've had enough of me. Hello.
Hello.
Life in me sucks, if I can say it Texas style. Life in Christ is the bomb. It is the zenith of all type of living. It is truly abundant life. Now we're going to see here, that's not where the river ends. Where does the angel take Ezekiel then? He takes him to a point in the river that is way over his head, where Ezekiel is in deep over his head. How many of you, no shuck and jive, honestly would say, I want to have my life so inundated and so submerged in Christ that I have to swim?
Amen.
Because I can't stand upright. It is way over my head.
Amen.
Thank you for those head nods, and thank you for that sincere. I know you do, brother. How many of y'all know that that can be scary? How many of you know that swimming can be scary? Did you hear that news that a pastor and his wife and two kids drowned in water, and they all knew how to swim? You know, that was a news item. Swimming can be scary. Why? Because you're at the mercy of the water. Well, you know, breaking it down, shooting it straight, church family, wading into deeper waters in your spiritual life means you losing control and letting God have the control. Oh, Joe, that was a good message until you said that. Water survival. That's right. If you have to cooperate with the water, right? You don't dictate to the water. The water dictates to you what you're going to do if you want to survive that water. You know, when I was a kid, my dad had us going to... they didn't have swimming lessons at the YMCA, so he took us to the YWCA because that's where the swimming lessons were. And there were guys and boys and girls that were taking lessons as well. And one of the hardest things that I had to do was to trust that the water, when I lay down, that the water would keep me afloat. I remember to this day, I remember the lady's name. Her nickname was Cheetah. I didn't know what her real name was. She said, call me Cheetah. Okay, Cheetah. And she said, I want you to lay down here, Joe, on my arms, and I'm going to hold you. Well, you know, she did that probably for about a half hour, and I was like comfortable as long as I felt her arms underneath me. But then once she pulled her arm slowly and said, look, the water's holding you up. I started doing the panicking thing. And then she's like, no, you gotta, the water will hold you up. No, it won't. Your arms will, the water won't hold me up. I panicked. Why? Because at that point, I could not trust the water. So let me ask you, at your point in your spiritual life, can you trust God with the unknown?
Amen.
You know, the only way you can trust God with the unknown is having stacked victory after victory after victory behind you, and you looking back and saying, you know, the Lord delivered me, as King David said, the Lord delivered me out of the bear, the Lord delivered me out of the lion, He's going to deliver me from the giant. Come on, somebody, this is good teaching. You got to look back to look forward and see all the good things that God has done to this point in your life. You know, He delivered me from the bear's mouth. He delivered me from the lion's mouth. He's certainly going to deliver me from that 9-foot-tall giant named Goliath. Right?
Amen.
Can we trust the unknown? Can we trust God when everything in your personal world is falling apart?
Amen.
Yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing shall make them stumble. The book of Isaiah. Great peace. So, can you go in over your head? Remember, it's going to require sacrifice. The surrender of something of value for the sake of greater gain. Now, we're going to stop here. All right, you guys are going to get home early. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Right, Kyle? But we're going to continue next week, the next couple weeks, because there are some truths here that I want us to see, church family, that are pertinent to the river of our spiritual life. We don't want to stay at the kiddie pool side, do we? Ankle deep. We don't want to be in the knee deep. Let me say it this way. This is more positive. If you're on the banks, I would challenge you, for you and your spiritual life, 2020, wade into the ankle deep water. If you're in ankle deep water, wade into the knee deep water. If you're in knee deep water, wade into the waist deep water. And if you're in waist deep water in 2020, I challenge you to lose more control, relinquish that to the Lord, and go into rivers that are way in over your head. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your love for us. God, you are so good. You give us a river of life that flows from us. Jesus, you said that as it is written, he who believes in me, rivers of living water shall flow out of their belly. Thank you for living water, Father, that brings healing to others, that brings healing to our lives. And we'll, Lord, you willing, we'll look at that next week, Father. The healing that as the more we wade into this river, the greater wholeness we experience in you. Father, we pray that you give us all that desire, a pursuit of love to wade into deeper water. In Jesus' name, amen.